tweet at Today SOR.
Up to 80,000 applicants will register to apply to the Central Applications Office seeking a college or university place in the next few weeks. Tens of thousands of other students will apply directly to further colleges of education for places on their courses. With me now, Brian Mooney, editor of Education Matters and columnist with the Irish Times. I know, Brian, you just issued the latest edition, launched it last night, of Education Matters.
Yes, launched last night, and it's free for everyone on Sean O'Rourke. They can just go on to educationmatters.ie and the entire yearbook is there free for you online.
Right, now we are at the height of college application season. There are a couple of important dates coming up, for the CAO. Tell me about that first.
Well, the first one is Monday, which is the last time you can apply at up to 5:15 next Monday, the 20th. It's the last time you can apply paying €30. If you leave it after 5:15 on Monday, it's going to cost you €45. And all you need at this stage for your application is to know who you are, where you live, your mobile, your address, and literally a credit card with €30. You don't have to give them anything else, and for that you're in, you're done. Effectively, you're in the system. So if anybody's going to be applying after next Monday, you're throwing away €15, and after the 1st of February, you're throwing away another €15, you're throwing away €30. So why not?
Okay, so you let them know you're there, and then at what stage do you have to start making up your mind about the courses that you might want to
do? If you are applying for any course that is restricted, in other words, you have to go and do something over Easter, sing, dance, give them a portfolio, do something which is part of an assessment process they call restricted application courses, you must list them by the 1st of February. Again, if you miss one, you can pay them an extra tenner and list it by the 1st of March. But other than that, the only day that really matters is right at the end of the process on the 1st of July for the CO change. It's called change of mind. But effectively, every year, you have about 46,000 people exercising that right in May and June, and you have about 46,000 current year leaving certs. So pretty much.
Now, there's something else there you talk about, you know, an extra requirement. For instance, people thinking of studying medicine, they have to
do the HPAT, yeah.
And there's a deadline for that as well, is there?
There is this, excuse me, Sean. There's the exact same deadline. If you actually look, HPAT runs at the date for HPAT is the last Saturday in February or first Saturday in March. I'm just checking it here. You have to register there by the 20th of January, also by 5:15, and it's €140. And if you miss that, you're going to pay €210 up to the 1st of February, and you have another 2-3 days, and they'll charge you €245. So effectively, it's on Saturday the 22nd of February this year is the report.
Yeah. Now, I suppose you've got to remember, despite the high numbers using it, the CAO place isn't necessarily the best option for everybody doing the Leaving Cert this year. There are other courses available if you want to go down the post-Leaving Cert course route.
Absolutely, Sean. And I mean, I've got to declare an interest here. I chair the Board of Management in Blackrock and the FE College in Stillorgan, and I'm also on the board in Sallynoggin. For instance, there are pre-university law courses in Blackrock. There is in Bray have pre-science. We've pre-business. There are, you know, a whole series of courses, and universities are now providing up to 10% of places for students coming through further education routes, because they're finding the students who spent that year, they leave school, they get used to studying independently, they spend a year doing a particular discipline, whether it's law or business or science or whatever. If they get good distinctions across all of their 8 modules, the universities see them as very attractive candidates. So even though, say, science in UCD might be 520, you could end up getting 350 this year in your Leaving Cert, doing a pre-science PLC and getting into science in UCD as one of the 30 or so reserved places for PLC students. The same for commerce, the same for law, etc. So PLC colleges are fantastic places for people doing pre-courses. They're also fantastic places for students who want to get a specific training that will get them a job in a year's time. So again, in Blackrock, we would have fire and ambulance, and we would also have beauty and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So they're for jobs.
Right. Now, you often hear students, I'd imagine, this time of the year saying, look, it's only January. I haven't a clue what I want to do from next September onwards. So what should they be doing at this stage, apart from putting their name in the system?
You put the name in the system. You look at effectively, you know, what courses you're considering. You go onto the Qualifax website and you check out the details of courses, so to see, you know, are the subjects that you really like being taught. You might go onto the Careers Portal website and have a look at the careers that are out there now, because lots of industries have very good video clips on Careers Portal where effectively you can see what it actually means. Because for parents who got into the labour market maybe 20, 30 years ago, their perception of what a job might be and their discussions with their children relating to those jobs may bear no relation to how the job is actually done today. So effectively, it's very important that you keep yourself up to date and you reflect upon that. And you can put your list down by the 1st of February, but you always know that when it gets to May and June, you have 2 months to go back in there and amend it anyway.
But Brian, you're very experienced in the whole area of career guidance. And let's say a youngster will come in and say to you, look, Mr. Mooney, I don't really know how to go about deciding what I should go for. I mean, what is that conversation like then? What are you saying to them?
What I'm saying to them is, OK, let's, for instance, go on the Careers Portal website and there's a nice interest inventory there and let's see, it'll take you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, but
they will then say, oh, this person is really interested in social careers. So you're saying, OK, is that in the area of business? Or is it in the area of medical? Or is it in the area of teaching? Or what area of interactions, face-to-face work? Or they could be highly interested, say, for instance, in practical. So you may be, do you like physics and maths? Are you interested in engineering? Or if that student also had a very high level interest in creativity and artistic, you might say, well, what about architecture? You know, so you're actually looking at where their interest profile is and you can match that up.
And you relate it to how they themselves relate to the subjects they're doing in school.
Exactly, yeah. So you see how the subjects in school is going, what the interest is, what the matching careers might be, what the matching courses might be.
Yeah, we have a couple of texts here about mature students. Brian, how do you apply for colleges as a mature student? Is it via the CAO?
It's via the CAO, but you only have until the 1st of February because effectively the mature student is not being assessed based on their Leaving Cert result because a mature person over 23 years of age has a life experience also. So you literally have to make a case why you're interested in a particular course and if they see that through your life experience. Now, a lot of universities actually run kind of prep courses for matures who might not have the skills to go straight into a lecture theatre and start taking notes, going to the library, doing essays, etc. So universities have these particular programmes where effectively if you go on them for a year, they give you kind of almost an automatic pass then into your commerce degree or your law degree or science degree. So whatever your local university is, have a look at it and see what they're offering.
Can you please advise on teacher training in Dublin for a mature student, both primary and secondary? Much appreciated.
Yeah, okay. Well, obviously you have DCU who now have St. Pat's and what was Mater Dei is now also in St. Pat's. And then you have a number of teaching degrees also in St. Pat's. You have biology and PE. And there has been a proliferation of new degree programmes in the last 2 to 3 years because of the acute shortage in many areas of secondary teaching. So the trick is go on to the Qualifax website, go into an advanced search and put in the word teaching and put in the subject you're looking at, and it will bring up instantly whether there is a new degree program or whether there's an existing degree program with those secondary...
Qualifax website.
With the Qualifax, www.qualifax.ie. It was developed during my time as president of the Institute of Guidance Counsel. It's now managed by QQI, and it's updated every single day. It has every single course at PLC, CAO, and postgraduate. So you can check out any course, and in a moment you can find out every course that has zoology as a final degree option, law and business or whatever.
So presumably the same recommendation you would give to somebody wondering about a pre-nursing PLC course. My son is very interested.
Just go into Qualifax, go into the PLC courses, go into advanced search, put in the word pre and nursing, put in the county or the area you're in, and it'll give it to you in a second.
Somebody wants to advise his or her son who's not interested in college, doing the Leaving Cert, okay, but how do we go about getting an apprenticeship? Is there a format or do we just look about for it ourselves?
Okay, now there are two sets of apprenticeships. You have the construction apprenticeships on, which obviously are now operating through Sullis, which is the replacement of Foss. And they, you know, the numbers going into those are less than they were in the past. But then again, a lot of people got very badly burnt in apprenticeships when the crash came. They couldn't finish out. There was no jobs for them. There was no way mechanism. Some went to the UK to try and finish out. But in the last number of years, Sullis has developed with industry a huge number of apprenticeships. So you now have apprenticeships in accounting. Again, I mentioned previously, BlackRock FE, where I chair the board, they have the accounting 2-year cert course. That is 1 week, 1 day a week lectures, 4 day working in an accountancy firm. They're paid up to 20,000 a year. Then you have insurance through IT Sligo. You have NCI, have financial services. Then you have pharmaceuticals. There's a whole range.
What about the traditional ones then?
The traditional ones are, as I said, they are back again through Sullis. But that is the traditional route. You have to find somebody who is a registered trader, in that particular?
If you want to study in a European university.
There is an enormous growth. I was speaking down in Cork in Little Island last week and out in Blanchardstown with the Dutch universities. There were a whole series of them over. There were about 8 or 9 Dutch universities. And they were only over 8 weeks ago. They have 1,000 students now, Irish students, in the Netherlands alone. I spoke to 3 students who were studying physiotherapy. And now, you know, physiotherapy here in Ireland is offered by 4 of the universities and it's 540 points. The Dutch university system, and I'm only speaking about the Dutch, but it's the same for most of Western Europe, 2 H4s and 4 passes. They've never heard of the points. They have no capacity constraints whatsoever. Everybody is entitled, an EU citizen is entitled. So we're EU citizens, we are entitled with the same rights in a Dutch university as a Dutch student.
And what about across the water, UK post-Brexit?
Well, that's going to be, that is for the negotiations, because if we are ending up being offered something that is better than our French and German counterparts, they will wonder, well, look, we sorted out your area in relation to your border.
Another quick one, because I want to move on to the exams marking. It's an important thing. My daughter is in college, doesn't like her course, wants to do another course in a different college. Does she apply through the CAO?
She does. If she knows now, and this is really important, I'm going to save you a fortune here. If she knows now she doesn't like the course, would you please go to the registration office of that college now and give them a letter to say you're formally withdrawing? Every single year, students pay €3,000 registration charge, and twice during the year, the HEA provide a lump of money with your name attached to it to that university based on your registered student. It could be 8,000, 10,000, 12, 15, depending on the course. If you are still on their books, in other words, even if you've left and walked away, if you're on their books, that money will keep being paid to the college. And when you go back for first year in your new course, you will pay the HEA funding and the 3,000 registration for that first year. But it's twice a year. So if you are in a situation where you're pulling out or you've already left, will you go back to the registration desk, get a letter and get an absolute piece of paper that says they formally recognise you've withdrawn, because it'll cost parents 4 or 5 thousand.
So you might save half the money. I mean,
you can save half the money now.
Yes, okay.
But a lot of students just drift and they never formally withdraw.
Very interesting advice. Brian, the Irish Times has a kind of a part two on a variation on a theme today, saying hundreds of state exam students given estimated grades, awarded grades based on estimates by their schools due to errors such as scripts being lost or candidates being given the wrong exam papers. Now, relatively speaking, it's not a huge number of students. Last year, for instance, a total of 148 students, 116 the previous year, 116 in 2017. But I don't think we knew about this.
No, we didn't. I spoke to the State Exams Commission about this. The State Exams Commission try in all circumstances to take account of each individual student. But in case what's happening here is something goes wrong in the exam, somebody gets very sick. But there are a few examples here which could give rise to concern. I mean, there was in the reports you're seeing things like ants were walking across my desk, or there was a loud noise outside the room, or the clock in the room stopped. Or I was being...
Now, Brian, I know people, and I don't want to be sexist about this, but I know a couple of young women
who would...
If the sight of ants or spiders...
Exactly.
It would drive them bananas.
That's exactly the case. So, in other words, what happens in that situation is the school makes a representation, or the student makes a representation. They then contact the teacher, and the teacher said, well, in normal circumstances, that student would have been getting a H2. Mm-hmm. And then they bypass the paper, and the student gets the H2. But what we've had this week is accumulation of stories relating to the exams. The fact that the marking schemes are being adapted after the papers have been set and the students, because once they start correcting them, they find that one question is easier than they expected and one is harder.
In the interest of consistency, happens.
Yes.
And Michael O'Leary, director of the Centre for Assessment Research Policy at DCU, he gives the example in today's paper saying, the following scenario, following the marking of sample papers using the original marking scheme, student A gets 91% or a H1, student B gets 89%, but in an effort to mitigate the effect of a relatively hard paper, they go through it again. The new marking scheme results in student A getting 89% and student B getting the 90%.
So in other words, individual students, in an attempt to balance out unfairness, individual students are losing places in college. And I know, because I discussed this with the State Exams Commission this morning, they, as a result of all of this, decided when they looked at it, that they are actually looking at the standard setting procedure for the Leaving Cert. They're looking at international examples to see whether, in fact, what we're doing is the best that can be done, because they don't want to change to something and then suddenly find there are serious problems with it. But effectively, they do their best.
But it's extraordinary that this has been going on, and yet youngsters whose mother might have died the day before the exams, until last year, too bad.
Until last year, it was questioned that they didn't put in place a procedure, which they have now, so that you can do exams for those 3 days around the funeral in the end of June in the department, or in Athlone, in one centre, which is a huge step forward, something I was calling for years.
Brian Mooney, well, you finally got your wish, and well done on that. Brian Mooney, career guidance expert. Thank you indeed for joining us. News after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.